Well, this evening, once again, in the book of Colossians, I'm going to get you to participate in this tonight. If you will, take your hymn book out, and we're going to look at a couple of hymns that Ken led us in tonight. And I want to pick up, even though we have looked at verses 2, 3, and 4 in the book of Colossians chapter 4, as Paul continues to write from a Roman prison cell, as he is writing to the church at Colossae. And remember, many of these letters were read to other churches as well as written to whom they were written to. In verse 2, we see these Christian graces that we looked at the other night. Continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Meanwhile, praying also for us that God would open to us a door for the word to speak the mystery of Christ. Remember, the mystery of Christ here is referring to that the gospel was not only for the Jews, but it was also for the Gentiles. And as long as Paul was speaking to the Jews, everything was fine. But when he focused in on the gospel being for the Gentiles, it created problems for him. And of course, he's thrown into prison for his faith. So he says, open to us a door for the word to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in chains, that I may make it manifest, that means known, as I ought to speak. And then he speaks about walk in wisdom toward those who are outside. In other words, those out there in the world that you and I see every day that don't know Christ. He says, redeeming the time. That means take every opportunity that we have to share the gospel, to share the love of Christ, the wonderful gift of redemption to those that are outside the household of faith. He says, let your speech always be seasoned with grace. And we'll move into those verses, if not tonight, on Wednesday night. But I want to speak on verse 4 there for this evening, that I may make it manifest. He's speaking about the mystery of Christ, the gospel here, to those that are Gentiles or outside there, as I ought to speak. Now, a few moments ago, on page 531 in your hymnal, I want us to look at what the songwriter penned many years ago in this song that we sang a few moments about being redeemed. Paul was all about redemption because of the incredible, incredible thing that happened to him one day on a road to Damascus where Paul was going to persecute Christians, where he was going to consent to have them thrown into prison because they were of this Christian faith. And while on that road, the Holy Spirit of God out of heaven spoke to Paul. He called his name and asked him why he was persecuting the Christians. And it was through that day when the light shone upon him and the voice from heaven, and Paul was gloriously and miraculously saved from what he had been doing in past days, persecuting Christians, consenting unto their deaths, carrying them off, having them thrown into prison for their faith. And he made a complete about face and began to be so passionate for telling this wonderful story of Jesus. When the songwriter penned these words on page 531 there in your hymnal, he said, redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. The Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. When the songwriter said, redeemed, how I love to proclaim it, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Ken sang that song a few moments ago, so beautifully washed away. A flood that washed away sin stains in the sin. The songwriter said, redeemed through his infinite mercy, his child, and forever I am. Second verse says, redeemed and so happy in Jesus. Are you happy in Jesus tonight? Does your face show the love of Jesus in your life and in your walk, because your face, my face, may be the only Jesus some people will ever know, will ever see. Does our face reflect the love of Jesus? Redeemed and so happy in Jesus, no language my rapture can tell. In other words, the songwriter says, I don't have any language, any words to explain this rapturous feeling of happiness that I have in my heart. I know that the light of his presence with me doth continually dwell. Aren't you grateful tonight that wherever you go, God is already there when you get there? Not only is God with you as you go, but God is there. There's nowhere we can go that he is not. And then I love this third verse when the writer said, I think of my blessed Redeemer. Redeemer, redemption through Christ. It's all because of his mercy, his grace, his shed blood on the cross that you and I can be redeemed. I think of my blessed Redeemer. I think of him all the day long. I sing, for I cannot be silent. His love is the theme of my song. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. His child, and forever I am. And then on page 436, I love this song. He included me this morning as I addressed our young people in particular in the service today to let them know. In fact, one of their Sunday school teachers came up to me after church and said, thank you, Pastor, for the sermon today. You answered 36 questions that my students in my Sunday school class had been asking me that I didn't know the answer for, and you answered all of those this morning. You know, I'm grateful that the gospel is for everyone that believes. I know that we are in a world today, and I know there's differences of opinions theologically when you come to the issue of Arminianism and Calvinism and all of these different things that are out there. I realize many of those things have divided churches everywhere. I like what W.A. Criswell said when he spoke about predestination, foreordination, chosen, election, all of those things. Yes, those things are true. They're recorded in God's word. But it's like Criswell says, if you were standing on a railroad track and on both sides there is a rail that holds that train into place, and on one side's election and chosen, and on the other side here's predestination, foreordination. And he says, as you look down that track, eventually in the far distance, it looks like those rails go together and all you see is one rail. He said, that's the way it is with this. You and I will never understand it this side of eternity. We will read book after book, theological interpretation after theological interpretation from scholars. I have never allowed those things to bother or concern me. I like what Criswell said. Those that receive Christ are of the elect. And the more that elect to receive him, they are the elect. And so to me, that is very simplistic. It makes a lot of sense to me, and I don't get hung up on all of the imponderables that a lot of people capitalize on and divide churches over when, you know, who is the author of confusion? The Bible tells us it's the devil. And so it's very simplistic to me. I'm glad he included me. The Bible says, whosoever will, let him come. In fact, John 3:16, which Paul certainly, being in a Roman prison, as Paul would share the gospel there in a prison cell, to some of Caesar's household, as well as to those guards that were there. Think about the impact that he made as those prisoners were released out into the public eventually, and they shared the gospel message wherever they went. Notice what the hymn writer said on 436. I am so happy, there's that word again, in Christ today. Let me tell you, you may not be happy today that you did not buy stock a few days ago when it was $4 on GameStop. Now it's $367 a share, or $385, whatever it is. Well, you may not be happy in some of the choices and decisions that we make in investments of life, but I'm happy in Christ today, aren't you? Because I know He included me. I am so happy in Christ today that I go singing along my way. Yes, I'm so happy to know and say, Jesus included me too. Do you see how this relates to the book of Colossians? Paul is out there preaching the gospel. The Jews thought the gospel was only for them. They thought that it was all about the old ritualistic system and the Judaistic system and Judaism. And then those that had met Christ out of that system, they were having a hard time believing that the gospel could be for anyone else that was not a Jew. And this was the mystery that Paul would speak about, this gospel, this mystery of Christ. This gospel that he had included the Gentiles as well as the Jews into his program. I love this. I'm so happy to know and say Jesus included me too. Look at the second verse. Gladly I read whosoever may come to the fountain of life today. But when I read it, I always say Jesus included me too. Verse 3, ever God's Spirit is saying, come. Notice that the Holy Spirit is giving the invitation that we looked at this morning in the book of Revelation. And the invitation that Christ is giving is come. The invitation that the bride, the church is giving is come. Notice the invitation is given. Ever God's Spirit is saying, come. Hear the bride saying, no longer Rome. But I am sure while they're calling home, Jesus included me too. Verse 4, freely come drink words, the soul to thrill. Oh, with what joy they my heart do fill. For when he said, whosoever will, Jesus included me too. And then look at that chorus. Jesus included me, yes. He included me when the Lord said, whosoever, he included me. Jesus included me, yes, he included me. When the Lord said, whosoever, he included me. Now, there will be a lot of things in life you and I will never understand. We can sit and argue over menial things in the Bible when I don't think that's what God expects. I don't think that's what God wants us to do. I think what God wants us to do is stand up and say, thus saith the Lord. I'm grateful that he included everybody. He wants everybody to come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And when Paul spoke there in verse 4, Paul wanted to make sure that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Paul's concern was that when he spoke about this wonderful inclusion of the Gentiles and this wonderful inclusion of this invitation to come, he wanted to be able to speak it in such a way that it would be pleasing to Christ, that it would be used of the Holy Spirit to permeate every person, to get them to come to a place of the realization that they need Christ Jesus in their heart and life. It was important that Paul understand the gospel, to be able to present it, to be able to preach it, to be able to explain it, so that people would fully comprehend and understand that the gospel was for the Jew and the Gentile. And the gospel is for anyone who will reach out through faith and receive Christ as their Lord and Savior and his blood of redemption, which washes away all of the sin in our lives. We sang a few moments ago, there is a fountain filled with blood. As we were singing that song, my mind drifted back to my little country church I grew up in, as the saints would sing that song. And I can still, in my mind, see many of their faces, see the joy in their hearts, the happiness expressed as they exuded through their voices praise and joy because of the redemption of the fountain of blood that washed away their sins. Let me tell you, if there was ever a time in all of life, and it's always been through life, but the world needs Christ. The world needs Jesus tonight. I stood at a funeral service on Friday morning, the Comanche First Baptist Church, as I eulogized Billy Dennis's life. And I spoke that day and said, the world is filled with people who have not reached out by faith to receive the Lord. Every second that ticks away on your clock, every single second of every single hour of every single day, worldwide, every second, three people die in this world. 180 worldwide die every minute of this day. And every hour of the day, almost 11,000 people die. They leave this life headed in one of two directions. Every single day of the world that you and I live in, 250,000 people go somewhere into eternity. Every single day. Before the clock strikes 12 tonight, 250,000 people today went into eternity somewhere. They are either in the presence of Almighty God, or they are separated into a place, as the Bible speaks about, torment and punishment and everlasting pain, a place of darkness. If you can only imagine the isolationism these past 12 months that have so absolutely created emotional and mental and psychological issues for people. If you can only imagine for all eternity that people are drifting out of this life, no wonder we sing softly and tenderly, the moments are passing. They're passing from you and from me. Tomorrow when you get up, in that 24-hour period of time, every second, three people will have died. Every minute, 180 people will have died. Every hour, 11,000 people will have died. In 24 hours of tomorrow, 250,000 people will die worldwide every single day. They're going into eternity. Paul realized that the most important thing in all of life was that he wanted to tell people about Jesus. He had spent wasted years of his life going in an opposite direction. But God spoke out of heaven that day on that Damascus road. Paul's life was changed forever. I want you to know, suddenly and without warning, a voice from heaven and a blinding light. And Paul is forever changed. He realized the most important thing was to proclaim this wonderful mystery of Christ to a Gentile world as well as to the Jewish Roman world of his day, about the wonderful redemption, about the blood of Christ that cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Folks, let me tell you, if there's anything that ought to motivate you and me to go out and give a testimony of Jesus Christ, it ought to be that. Amen? I mean, if Paul could be behind prison walls or bars, chained oftentimes to prison guards, and yet somewhere in the midst of it, even at midnight, he could be singing. He could have joy in his heart. You see, he did not allow the circumstances around him change the wonderful joy of the Lord that was in his heart. And Paul was asking specifically here in verse 2 of chapter 4, continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant, that means watchful in it, with thanksgiving. Meanwhile, praying also for us, that God would open to us a door for the word to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in chains. Paul was saying, I'm here in this prison in chains because I have been telling the Gentile world about Christ, and that they're included in this wonderful gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he said in verse 4, that I may make it manifest when he stood to speak, or when he wrote under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, who penned these wonderful words through his hand. These were not Paul's words. They were Spirit-led, Spirit-filled, the Holy Spirit of the living God falling afresh and new upon him to pen these words that breathe life, that breathe everlasting life into mankind, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. And then in verse 5, he says, walk in wisdom. Let me tell you, there's two kinds of wisdom tonight in the world. There is the wisdom of the world, which is not a godly wisdom. It is not a spiritual wisdom. And then there is godly wisdom, which is spiritual wisdom. Let me tell you, whenever you have spiritual wisdom, and you know how to use spiritual wisdom and to read God's word and to let the Holy Spirit illumine God's word and to use it out there with your testimony for Jesus. Paul said to the Colossian Christians, walk. The word walk there shows some action, doesn't it? Whenever we walk in wisdom, let me tell you, people will look at your life and they will determine whether or not you are expounding truth or error, or I would hope they would. Unfortunately, in the world that we live in, as someone said to me this afternoon, someone said to me over the phone, the world is filled with such baby Christians that are so immature in the Word of God. And I said, yes, that is true. I'm sure the statistics on how mature Christians are that profess to be Christians, but more than that, possess the Christian life. How many people truly are nurturing themselves, feeding themselves in the Word of God? Paul said, walk in wisdom toward those who are outside, redeeming the time. Paul realized there were a lot of people in his known world. They were outside the faith. Paul said to the church, walk in wisdom. In other words, you need to understand there are people outside the walls of the church, in the city of Duncan, in Stevens County, in Oklahoma, in the United States, all over the world tonight. There are people that are outside. In other words, they have not had a personal encounter with the one who said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. He that comes to me has to come through the shed blood of Christ. If you and I are going to heaven, Jesus said, I am the way, I'm the truth, I am the life. Paul said to the church, walk in wisdom. Let me ask you a question. When you open your mouth to give testimony of your faith, of the wonderful redemption that you have through Christ's shed blood, how do we approach people? How do people see us? Do we turn them off? Do we look so pious? Are we too arrogant in our approach to people? Or do people see the humility of Christ in our lives? Do they see godly wisdom in us as we try to share with them Jesus Christ? Let me tell you, our lives as Christians should be such that people would see the radiant love of Christ in our hearts and lives. Do you believe that tonight? You believe that, church? that there ought to be a radiance about us. As the songwriter said, I'm so happy in Christ today that I go singing along the way. Let me tell you, people ought to be able to look at us and say, you know, there's something strange about that old boy or that old gal. There's something strange about it, and I like the strangeness that I see. And I'm interested in what that might be. I wonder if every Christian in the world, if we were all filled with, we are filled with the Spirit once we received the Lord Jesus Christ, but if we are being filled every day by allowing the Holy Spirit to use us as we ought to be used, let me tell you, I believe that there'd be a lot of people in the world that would elect to receive Jesus and be a part of the election, be part of the saints that are elected. Let me tell you, the world is groaning tonight. The world is passing away tonight. You and I are in the land of the dying. Did you know that? We're in the land of the dying tonight, but we're on our way to the land of the living. And let me tell you, we ought to be going along the way singing. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. I'm sorry that we live in such a post-Christian era that some of those wonderful old songs that are greatly theologically based, we've kind of pushed them out the window. And I want you to know, in each of these songs we've looked at tonight, there's great theological thoughts in these about whosoever will let him come. Paul said, walk in wisdom toward those who are outside. And then he gives that little phrase, redeeming the time. Redeeming the time means to buy up every opportunity that you and I have to witness for Christ. Well, let me tell you, I don't know when Jesus is coming again. The Bible says nobody knows but God the Father. But let me tell you, one of these days he's going to say to the Son, hey, it's time for you to go get your children and bring them home. I think that you and I are given a mandate. When Jesus left in the ascension and he said, in Matthew 28, 19 and 20, he gave the church their marching orders. He gave the disciples their marching orders. You and I have a mandate. It's not a suggestion. It's a mandate to go out and tell the world. We sing that song, I'll tell the world that I'm a Christian. I think the first time I ever heard that song was at False Creek. I'll tell the world that I'm a Christian. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Paul realized there was no place for him to ever go back to what he once was, to what he now is. He says, redeeming the time. In other words, buy up every opportunity that you can. The song says, tomorrow's sun may never rise. Folks, let me tell you, this is the time, this is the season of our lives to every day make a difference every day in your life as you walk in wisdom toward people out there that are lost without Christ. Take every opportunity. If it's not in word, let it be in your character. Let it be in the content of who you are in Christ Jesus, so they see a difference. And then in verse 6, he says, let your speech, always be with grace. The way you walk, the way you talk, is your speech seasoned with the grace of God? Is your speech kind? Because if it's not, I can assure you, being a minister for 40 years, I can promise you, people will say, well, let me tell you what turned me off to church. Let me tell you what turned me off with those so-and-so who thinks they're something that they're not. I've heard that a gazillion times through the years. And every time I hear somebody make a comment like that, it grieves my heart. I know it must grieve the heart of God. Because the way we say something, The Bible says, let your speech always, not sometimes, not when you're out of snuff. Have you ever noticed when you're out of snuff? I don't know where that phrase came from. I heard it growing up from the old folks at home. But you know, if you're out of sorts, you're probably going to speak in the power of your flesh and not be controlled by the filling of the Holy Spirit. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt. Salt was used in those early days as a preservative. It was also used as a seasoning in foods as we use it today. Seasoned with salt. Why? That you may know how you ought to answer each one. Let me tell you, I hear over and over and over, people that profess to be in Christ, and they've hurt somebody's feelings, and they've blessed them out, and then you've got two wounded souls. And I always go back to this verse in my mind, let your speech, not only collectively as a church here in Colossians, but your speech individually, always, not just whenever you want to, not just whenever you feel like it. The word always, when I taught English, meant always. Let your speech always be with grace. Do you know people that are just, grace just oozes out of them in everything that they do and say? Let your speech always be with grace. Let me tell you what, people will always remember what is said. They will remember that. Let me tell you, you and I have opportunities when we may cripple someone for a lifetime because they cannot get beyond the ungraceful speech that was used in a situation and in a conversation. Paul said to the church at Colossians, don't let that be a part of your life. He said, let your speech always be with grace. Even when people don't agree with you, even when they take a different view of yours, you know how we all look at that? I give you the right to see things as you see them, if you will also give me the right to see them as I see them. But let me tell you, we argue over frivolous things in this life, and the devil loves it every time we do. And Paul wanted these Colossian Christians to be more than the average church. He wanted them to be a cut above. And so he addresses these Christian graces. The next time you and I speak to someone, I hope you will be reminded of this verse. How you approach them may determine whether or not, if they're lost, it may determine whether or not they ever receive Christ. If they are not a church member, it may determine whether or not they ever want to attend the church that you and I go to. Paul was aware of the everyday practical things that the church needed to know, as well as the doctrinal issues that he had already discussed in chapters 1 and 2, and then he moved into the practical application of life. I am so happy in Christ today. Ken, could we sing this as we close tonight? If you'll come and lead us, page 436, just use your hymnal tonight. Those need to be dusted off and used, all right? Would you stand as Ken comes to lead us? We're going to sing all four stanzas, and this is the benediction for this evening. As Ken comes to lead us, page 436.